Okay, that was fun, wasn't it? It is Tuesday. It is roughly, we'll call it 4:30-ish. That means it is time for Vancouver's preeminent mixed martial arts program, In the Cage with Bards. And because Husamar Palhares has yet to object, I am still Carlin Bardsley. It's the first day of fall, and no better way to celebrate it than to talk about people getting punched in the face, no? Well, there's lots to get to on this edition of In the Cage. We've got the recap from last week's UFC Fight Night card, an update on why Chael Sonnen has been so quiet lately, and Chris Perry from the Vancouver Sun joins us to give picks for the upcoming UFC card this weekend, and also his unique view on the rest of the MMA world. With all that to do, well, let's just get to it, shall we? Last Wednesday's UFC Fight Night was not only a lead-in to the new season of the Ultimate Fighter reality show, but also put the spotlight on a number of contenders in the UFC. In the main event, Nate Marquardt jumped on an opportunity given to him by Husamar Palhares and was able to stop the Brazilian with ground and pound 328 into round one of their middleweight tilt. The ending was initially shrouded in controversy as Palhares attempted to grab Marquardt's leg for a leg lock during a scramble, only to have Marquardt pull free rather easily. Palhares immediately motioned referee Herb Dean and indicated that he thought Marquardt's leg was greased, but as we're constantly told in the octagon, continue fighting until the referee stops it. Marquardt immediately jumped on the prone Palhares and promptly pounded him out. After the fight, Marquardt denied the greasing allegations and said that he came out really warm and wanted a good sweat going to counter just such a situation. The Athletic Commission checked Marquardt and said he was fine, and Palhares' camp later apologized. In the lightweight division, late replacement Charles Oliveira continued his unbeaten ways as the Brazilian prospect dispatched former Ultimate Fighter winner Efren Escudero with a rear naked choke 225 into round three. The 20-year-old Oliveira went full board Escudero, looking like a lightweight John Bones Jones, throwing high-risk, high-reward strikes and effectively relegating Escudero to the role of a punching bag. Oliveira was a late replacement for Matt Wyman and managed to put Escudero away with a spectacular takedown in the third round and then cinched in the choke as Escudero attempted to rise back to his feet. After the fight, Escudero, who had missed weight coming into the fight, became the first prospect to win the Ultimate Fighter show to be cut by the UFC. In other lightweight action, New Jersey's Jim Miller outworked Gleison Tibau to win a unanimous decision, moving him to 7-1 in the UFC and strengthening his position in the division. Miller took the fight to the bigger Tibau, establishing a powerful jab in the first round and a hard straight left in the second, with an effective clinch game in the third to get the judge's nod. American Top Team's Cole Miller submitted the Ultimate Fighter Season 9 winner Ross Pearson with a second round rear naked choke in their featured lightweight tilt. The tap out came 149 in round two as Miller posted his fourth victory in five appearances. Miller was able to use his ample reach and height advantage to stand effectively with the Brit, landing a huge left hook against the cage before jumping onto his downed opponent, grabbing the choke and sending Pearson home with his first loss in the octagon. After the fight, Miller said, "I see all these wrestlers, point fighting strikers, and lay and pray jiu-jitsu guys. They're all doing the same thing. Nobody's trying to finish. Nobody's trying to pass guard, mount, nothing. Just control the clock. This isn't football. People have to come in here and fight." Amen to Cole Miller. Highlights from the undercard saw Eve Edwards' triumphant return to the octagon as he defeated John Gunderson by decision, and Brian Foster stopped welterweight veteran Forrest Pettz with a vicious right hand to win by first round TKO. Going to take a quick break now, and when we return, we'll have the reason why the usually loquacious Chael Sonnen has been so quiet lately.
UBC Rec is everything that is recreation on campus. No matter how you play, UBC Rec is your resource for fun activities. This student program is operated by over 140 volunteers, and it is the largest intramural recreation organization in Canada. Programs cover fitness, instructional classes, outdoor recreation, drop-in sports, special events, small tournaments, and intramural leagues. All the registration information is available in the Student Recreation Center or online at rec.ubc.ca. UBC Rec, how do you play?
See, I told you it'd be quick. Welcome back to In the Cage. When people hear the name Chael Sonnen, it's usually not far ahead of hearing the voice of Chael Sonnen. In the lead-up to his war against Anderson Silva, we were used to hearing quips like these, for example.
Anderson Silva is easily the most unpopular fighter in this company.
There's this dirtbag named Anderson Silva.
When Anderson Silva walks into a room, you could hear a rat piss on cotton.
I don't want to fight Anderson. I want to beat him down. I want to destroy Anderson.
He's got what I want, and envy keeps me up at night. Can we just be fair and say that? He's got 12 pounds of gold, and I want it.
That's the difference with me and Nate. He really wants to get that fight. Go fight him. But when you're done playing around, they'll call me.
People tell me he's a great fighter. I say, really? When did you see him fight? Because I haven't seen him fight.
A lot of that moving, or what you refer to as clowning, is what he uses for a setup.
He can go dance and be the Michael Jackson of MMA like he likes to do.
He's got a black belt under the Nogueira brothers.
Yeah.
I think a black belt under the Nogueira brothers is saying I got a free toy in my Happy Meal.
Well, Anderson's a fraud. He's a liar, and he's a thief. This guy's not from a bowing culture. You bow in Brazil, they'll hit you over the head and take your wallet out of your pocket. He beat up a math teacher. He beat up a slow and unathletic light heavyweight, a couple of them.
I beat every champion there's ever been except one.
He fought everybody in the world that wasn't named Chael Sonnen.
I stand here on my own free will. I stand here because I beat every middleweight they got in my way. Anderson's here because Dana White's making him.
His running is done. His 15 minutes are fame or up.
We don't have to fight. I issued him in writing. I sent it over my demands.
He leave the UFC for no less than 12 months. He issued an apology to the fans. Simple things. And he erected a statue in my likeness in his living room that he bowed to each evening.
He didn't accept them.
Who cares how he leaves? Just go. He's been threatening to go for a long time. Nobody cares. We're ready to see him leave. He's a nuisance. He's annoying. And he doesn't have any fans.
I've heard of you. Now, I didn't know I'd ever meet you. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is Anderson Silva's fan. I heard that he had one.
People say, do you want to fight the best Anderson Silva? I don't care if it's the best Anderson or the worst Anderson. I'm going to beat either Anderson.
I'm going to put him on his prissy little ass. I'd light up a big old mouth cannon, and I'd walk away laughing.
Who's the better one?
CP. Your ace. Your guy.
This guy.
Ace of hearts.
This isn't a fight that's going to be tit for tat.
This isn't a war. We're not going to go out and battle each other.
This is going to be a one-sided pounding, and I'm swinging the hammer.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I will take any excuse I can to play those clips of Chael Sonnen trash-talking Anderson Silva. But after dominating Silva for 23 minutes before being caught with a triangle choke, Sonnen's been uncharacteristically quiet lately. You'd think, you know, we'd be hearing more of him, especially with a rematch being planned for New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, whatever it is. You know, there should be a lot of hype about Silva and Sonnen too, right? Stands to reason, doesn't it? Well, it seems like we now have a reason why we're not hearing much from Chael Sonnen lately. California State Athletic Commission Executive Director George Dodd revealed that Sonnen had failed his post-fight test for performance-enhancing drugs. The culprit was an abnormally high level of testosterone. The results of the test not only puts a stain on Sonnen's lauded performance against Silva, but also takes the proposed New Year's Day middleweight title rematch between the two off of the table, as Sonnen is facing a suspension of anywhere from 6 months up to a full year. It looks like he could talk his way out of anything except a drug test. While Sonnen's on the sidelines, it looks like the void for the middleweight number one contender spot will be filled by the winner of the upcoming Vitor Belfort-Yushin Okami fight in November. No matter who wins, it looks to be an interesting matchup for Anderson Silva, as Belfort was scheduled to get a title shot earlier in the year before an injury took him out of the running, and Okami is the last man to defeat the Spider, albeit by disqualification. Another quick break is in store, but after that, we have the Vancouver Suns' Chris Perry joining the show to talk about this weekend's UFC card and other goings-on in the world of MMA right after this.
Wednesday mornings on CITR from 8 to 10 a.m. It's the Suburban Jungle Show with your radio host, DJ Jack Velvet. Thrills, chills, excitement, and music. That's the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can also catch this show, streaming and podcast, at www.jackvelvet.net. Don't miss the Suburban Jungle Show. Wednesdays, 8 to 10, 101.9 FM, CITR.
It's amazing, I'm the reason everybody fired up this evening. I'm exhausted, barely breathing, holding on to what I believe. And no matter what, you'll never take that from me. My rain is as far as your eyes can see. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing. So amazing, it's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing, it's amazing. I'm a monster, I'm a killer, I know I'm wrong, yeah. I'm a problem that I never ever be solved. And no matter what, you'll never take that from me. My rain is as far as your eyes can see. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing. I'm a monster, I'm a maven. I know this world is changing. Never gave in, never gave up. I'm the only thing I'm afraid of. No matter what, you'll never take that from me. My rain is as far as your eyes can see. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. 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 It's amazing.
My sodium, die high blood pressure, either let the feds get you. I'm amazing, born on a full moon. I was bred to get it in, no spoon. That's why I'm so goon. Summertime, no tunes. Big family, small house, no room. They like, oh God, why he go so hard? Look what he's been through, he deserves an applause.
So amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing, so amazing, so amazing, so amazing. It's amazing.
Welcome back to In the Cage with Bards here on 101.9 CITR FM. That was Amazing by Kanye West, which was the last song. This weekend's headliner Frank Mir entered the Octagon too. Joining us now to discuss this weekend's card and more is the Vancouver Suns resident MMA expert Chris Perry. How goes the battle, Chris?
Yeah, the battle rages on.
It's as much as you can ask for in this life, isn't it? Let's talk about Vancouver for a second. We're now in the Dave Rudberg era of the Vancouver Athletic Commission, and it looks like the more things change, the more they stay the same, as it doesn't appear there's going to be any more MMA events staged here during the so-called trial period.
Right.
We've had Paul Lazenby on the program, who thinks MMA is one and done in the city. We've had MFC promoter Mark Pavlich on the program, who says he has no interest in even attempting to stage a show here until the city gets its act together.
Right.
What's your view on the prospect of further MMA in Vancouver?
They're pretty much, as you said, one and done. Well, they'll be two and done, because the UFC will come back probably March next year, April next year, and the city will once again claim that it's all for MMA, and they'll have a big event and lots of tourists, and then it'll shut up again. Really, the Athletic Commission's in a form of stasis at the moment. Rudberg is in no rush to talk to anyone from the press because he'd have to actually answer some questions.
I noticed that, actually.
Yeah, and we're really getting sort of stiff-armed by the city at the moment. The city's got a lot of problems, a lot of PR issues that they have to negotiate their way through, one of them being that something that was revealed in The Sun this month, where I think it's 3 floors out of the 11 at City Hall are actually being used, and that the taxpayers are footing the bill so that expensive digs elsewhere can house all sorts of government departments that while City Hall remains empty. So they've got a bit of a PR battle just on that.
Well, if we have MMA events here, won't that extra tax revenue allow them to keep running City Hall at a near-empty level?
Yeah, if they're really that worried about revenue, they might actually put some people in those seats. MMA wasn't going to be an issue for them until I think the media got involved. But once the media got involved, then it became a PR situation where they didn't want to look like they were letting the population sit and wriggle. So they had the UFC event, and they got their votes, and now they can sit back and say, what are you talking about? Of course we like the UFC. They're kind of thinking that little MMA isn't really a vote winner. And they're probably right. You know, they're probably a hardcore base of people that aren't really going to get off their backsides and go out and vote according to what's happening in the local MMA scene. So it's too hard basket. You know, it's like it was in Ontario for so long until people really start asking hard questions. And people start thinking that they might not get votes next time around, then it's something that they just don't have to really deal with.
Well, that's a good point. Do you think Ontario's newfound approval of the sport will do anything to force Vancouver's, and in the larger sense, the BC provincial government's hand?
Once Toronto has a 48,000-seat sellout at Rogers Arena and everyone's talking about the amount of money that's come into town, maybe the BC government thinks, well, we should get a piece of that. But you have to think that there's probably an election coming up, and the BC government at the moment is looking down the barrel of a defeat. Mm-hmm. Do they really want to go to the mats at this time for something like MMA? And the NDP, being the weenies that they are, they're very likely to make a big deal of it if they do. So really, MMA once again gets the arm-butter triangle choke.
So I guess the short question is, who needs MMA when you have HST, right?
Yeah, we're just not that important, you know. As long as they can get the UFC, then they figure this situation is covered. And guys like me will still ask questions and we'll get no answers and we'll complain on our blogs about how nothing's happening when it should. But you know, there needs to be something big happen. It needs to be like ESPN starts showing, you know, UFC events or they happen on ABC TV. Then suddenly people will be looking at it like a convention rather than a blood sport. But for now, you know, if you're an MMA fighter locally, you fight amateur until such a time as you think you can make the next level, and then you move to Alberta.
That's true. What about the Canadian Medical Association's resolution that originated here in BC, vowing to lobby the federal government to ban the sport? Is this just a PR move? Does it have any legs? Or are we actually fortunate in this instance to have a federal government that doesn't really listen to anybody?
Probably all of the above. It's going to be one of those things where people who hate MMA will cite it and say, well, the doctors hate it, why should we allow it? And everyone else will say, you know, face palm. Mm-hmm. The CMA and the UK MMA and the Australian MMA and the US MMA, they've all tried to ban boxing in the last 25 years. They've all said that they want boxing banned, and that hasn't really gone far. So I can't imagine that suddenly they're going to have legs on MMA. It's just one more tool that the naysayers would use to say, of course it's a sport of thugs and goons because, look, the doctors hate it. And then if asked, most doctors will say, well, I'd much prefer to be overseeing it than just driving it underground. It's just one of those things where, you know, these guys, they go to a convention, they have to come back and say that they got something achieved. So they throw up a BS vote like this. It's not going to be enforceable. It's not going to be enactable. And at least they can come back and say, well, we did this, this, and this. So, you know.
So the convention was justified, basically.
Yeah. Thanks for paying for my first class ticket and my hotel room. Here's what I did while I was on vacation.
Yeah.
if there was any sort of research done on it, if there was any sort of real sort of, if this is a serious move, you know, surely you go and talk to the trainers and the fighters and you say, hey, fighters, how you feeling? You know, you don't just say, of course it's bad. Look at these guys. They must be getting beaten senseless.
Yeah, well, there's medical studies out there from Johns Hopkins and other reputable sources that weren't even looked at. And like you say, most of the people who voted for it have never actually seen the sport, which seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah, exactly. They couldn't tell us. They couldn't tell when interviewed, they couldn't tell what any death rates were or injury rates. They had no such information at hand. They hadn't talked to any trainers, anyone involved in the industry at all. They didn't know what insurance rules were in place. They couldn't tell us what rules were in place in the sport. So how you go from that to, well, we think we have enough information to ban it is beyond me. And when I actually presented the Johns Hopkins report to the spokesperson for the BCMA, she said, oh, all those reports have been bought and paid for by the franchise, which I guess she meant the UFC, but I don't know that Johns Hopkins is selling reports to the UFC, you know?
Yeah, wouldn't that be a bigger problem for Johns Hopkins than it would be for MMA at that point?
Yeah, I said, if you've got evidence of that, man, bring it on. That's a big story. But
yeah.
I think what you're really doing is talking out of your very puckered rear end.
Indeed. All right, well, on to more fun topics. This weekend, UFC has got a pay-per-view headlined by Frank Mir taking on Mirko Krokop. Neither fighter seems to have a lot of steam going into this fight. Mir's coming off back-to-back shellackings against Carwin and Lesnar, and Krokop's career appears to be stuck in neutral, with the only reason he's even getting a headlining shot is the injury to Rodrigo Nogueira. Who do you like in this fight? Will Mir be able to take Krokop down and work his jits, or will we see Krokop's devastating left high kick one more time?
I don't know. Is it possible to have a 0-0 judge's decision? This is one of those UFCs where that kind of come in between the important cards, where you think to yourself they really should have a two-tiered pay-per-view system. You know, I'd pay $20 for this card, but paying $50 for it, it's like the geezers at Caesars. It's Frank Mir is not anywhere near the title picture. There's no way, shape, or form he would beat Velasquez, Carwin, Lesnar. He's gatekeeper material at best.
Sure, he's almost this generation's Tim Sylvia.
It's just without the drugs. He's just basically, you know, treading water, trying and hoping that someone slips up above him and he can get another shot and pull off an upset. But I think he's gone about as far as he's going to go. He's tried to gain weight. He's tried to lose weight. He's tried to become a boxer, and it's just not getting where it needs to be. And Mirko, I mean, he's clearly playing for cash at this point. Mm-hmm. No whammies, no whammies. He's just kind of hoping he can keep the trend going. He's entertaining at least, and you know, Mir, if he gets him on the floor, would be interesting. But I can't imagine Mirko is dumb enough to allow Frank to just sort of drop him in the guard and start working the heel hooks. And Mir's just got enough cockiness about him that he thinks he was going to knock him out. So I imagine it's going to be a stand up battle, and you know, it'll be two old slow guys throwing old slow hooks, and whoever blinks will lose. It's one of those fights where even if you win, you're really a loser, you know?
Yeah, because where can a winner really go from this fight? I mean, they're not going to get rocketed back up at the top of title contention. It just seems like they're treading water in the middle of the division no matter what the result.
Yeah, it's like the Rich Franklin zone, you know? Like,
yeah.
No matter how much you win, you're never going to be back in title contention. You're not a serious contender. Mm-hmm. You're there because you have a recognizable name and some people might go out to a bar and watch you. Yeah. There's probably some fights under them that are more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're dealing with Matt Serra, you're dealing with Nogueira, you're dealing with Sean Sherk.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of ancient wisdom on this card.
Indeed. Let's talk about those fights. The semi-main, of course, has Rodrigo Nogueira's twin brother, Rogério, taking on former Ultimate Fighter winner and dangerous wrestler Darth Bader, Ryan Bader. Nogueira looked unstoppable in his UFC debut against Luis Cain, but faltered in a split-decision victory over Jason Brills. Bader's undefeated and coming off a career highlight win over Keith Jardine. Does Nogueira's skill set give him the victory, or does Bader have what it takes to move up the ladder here?
This is going to be one of those really boring fights where it's going to be land, prey, city. Nogueira, I was really surprised by how little damage he did to Brills last time around. And you know, he managed to steal the win, but it was a theft. And Bader, you know, if there's a more one-dimensional fighter than Bader around, I don't know him. He's just your typical wrestler. He's good at what he does, but it's certainly not interesting. Whoever wins this is basically a non-title elimination fight. This one, because whoever wins is just going to go up to that creaky next level of Gatekeeper 2, Gatekeeper 3, and they're a long way from real contention.
Bader's already talking about fighting John Jones, and he hasn't even beaten Nogueira yet. Is that a mistake to be already looking past Nogueira?
I think John Jones would send Ryan Bader right back to the mid-level that he belongs. I honestly don't think... I mean, you look at all the Ultimate Fighter winners of the last three or four seasons, there's no stars amongst them. And I can't imagine that Bader's going to be the one that actually cracks into the top tier. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have the game, you know? If he's up against someone who can't wrestle, he's going to win. I think Nogueira can wrestle, but it remains to be seen whether he's still got the touch he needs to put one over a guy who's just all torso. I think Bader's going to take the decision win in a snore fest.
We've also got a rematch of the Ultimate Fighter 4 finale on the card. Matt the Terror Serra taking on Chris Lights Out Lytle. The first fight was a bit of a clunker. Serra won a decision, but both men are usually known for having exciting scraps, with Lytle, of course, being a perennial Fight of the Night bonus winner. Do you think we see fireworks here, and who comes out on top?
Serra's got those little hands that come out of nowhere and get surprise knockouts. But, you know, who's going to really knock out Lytle in that size? Mm-hmm. Serra, I kind of wonder what Serra's motivation is at this point in his career. You know, he only fights maybe once a year. He's not fighting anyone who's really going to catapult him into contention. He seems to just be, you know, he's got his gym to run, he's got his team to run, and he fights every now and then. Whereas I think Chris Lytle still fancies himself as someone who can really make a run at a title. Mm-hmm. So I would say Lytle comes out absolutely swinging anvils, and maybe Serra's got enough to get him on the ground and do some jits, but I think this is going to be a Chris Lytle squash.
Excellent. In the lightweight division, we've got former champ Sean Sherk taking on the undefeated Evan Dunham, who continues to move his way up the lightweight ranks. Is Sherk's top game enough to put him back into contention, or is the muscle shark just a stepping stone for the fast-rising Dunham?
I can't remember the last time Sherk actually tried to wrestle someone.
He thinks he's a boxer now.
He's convinced that he's a heavy hitter, and that might be the case as long as he's on his PEDs. he's coming off three injuries, supposedly, but it's funny that the injuries all come when someone asks him for a blood test. I think that Sherk's been out of the game long enough that he's going to get absolutely done by Dunham. And how many has he lost in a row now? He's kind of been back treading for a while.
Yeah, he's teetering on what looks like to be the cut mark now, so I'm wondering if we're going to see him in shark fights or something next.
Yeah, that would make sense. I think that, you know, I think he's that level. He's 36 years old, you know, and he's certainly not got better as he's got older. He's like, some people add dimensions to their game as they get more experience. He's just changed dimensions. He's gone from all wrestler to all swinger. And, you know, Tyson Griffin's shown that even if you're a good swinger, you can't just abandon what got you to the dance in the first place. I think,
and that was his mistake against Dunham as well.
Yeah, and I think that Dunham's just too good for this level of ex-fighter.
And as far as Canadian content on the show, El Dirte, Joe Dirksen, takes on former Ultimate Fighter finalist C.B. Dolloway. I'll be honest here, I just want to see a Dirksen win because I find Dolloway incredibly annoying. Dirksen's experience be too much for the younger Dolloway to handle?
There's one key to success for Joe Dirksen, and that is when you feel the tap, keep the hold on. Dolloway is the king of the phantom tap. Mm. He's always, you know, if he does tap out and the fight gets stopped, he claims he didn't tap. He's got a long history of like, what, I was just touching his thigh. He's a big douchebag, and I hate him more than Koscheck.
And that's saying something.
Yeah, I mean, guys that get in there and will fight for their lives, I'm all for. Guys that get in there and try and cheat their way to an easy win, those guys need to be taken out to the woodshed and beaten with a rake. And Dolloway is just one of those guys where if you did it, I don't think there's a jury in the world that would convict you. Dirksen, you know, he got his last win out of nowhere, and I think realistically, he probably wouldn't be betting on himself in this fight. But Dolloway is the king of untapped potential. And
was that a pun, untapped?
I'm trying. You just never know with this guy. I mean, he could turn up in ace condition, or he could come in trying to cut corners and get an easy win. If he underestimates Dirksen, he'll get the El Dirte across the chin. I think that betting on El Dirte for two wins in a row in the UFC would be one of the greatest underdog comeback from nothing in history. You should tread it as long as you can. You should run out the clock, get paid. But, he's not going to beat Dalloway.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree just based on blind patriotism and blind hatred for Dalloway on that one.
I hope I'm wrong. I absolutely would be the first one to run around the block cheering if I'm absolutely wrong. But sadly, I don't think we get enough Rocky Vic ends like that.
And rounding out the CanCon, we've got a Nova Scotia submission wizard TJ Grant taking on the Dominican Demon Julio Paulino. Both men coming off a loss here. Can Grant grab one of Paulino's limbs and take it home with him?
I like Grant a lot. I think he was unlucky to lose his last, and I think that he's one of those guys that if he just gets a couple of sort of undercard wins behind him, he can sort of move up the rankings quickly into contendership. He's going to need to against Paulino. This is really a loser leaves town fight for mine. Mm-hmm. If Grant drops this one, then chances are we'll see him join Ben Saunders in limbo. If he can win it, then he's legit. He sticks around and maybe makes his way up to the card. You kind of hope that, from a Canadian perspective, that he's one of the more talented guys out there. And I hope he can put together a string. I think this will be a win for him. Submission round two.
I'd love to see that too.
Let's not forget heavyweight Aussie Mark Hunt, my countryman.
Yeah, Mark Hunt returning to the UFC because, they owed him a fight because of the Pride purchase. But he looks like he's taking it seriously anyway. He's dropped a lot of weight. Do you like Mark Hunt coming in and knocking Sean McCorkle's head off?
No.
No.
I'm just happy to see him around.
That's enough for you.
Kind of like Mickey Mantle showing up for the Yankees in game three of the 2010 World Series. You're just happy he's there,
Yeah, it's good to see him.
I'm glad that they actually saw fit to make good on their contract. I think that's a cool thing. Yeah. I think Hunt's probably in there against an absolute can, but he's probably still going to lose.
Well, we're going to have to find out Saturday night. Chris, thank you so much for joining the program again. Anything you want to plug on the way out here?
Call your local Vancouver City Councilman and bitch them out politely, because MMA should be a regular thing here, and I'm sick of going to Alberta for it.
And that goes double for me, too. Chris Perry from the Vancouver Sun here on 101.9 In the Cage with Bards. Thank you so much, Chris.
No worries, man.
Okay, and that's the view from here. I'm going to walk away now and leave you with a sports show on next. Just want to remind you, do not forget to follow us on Facebook. We're at www.facebook.com/inthecagewithbards. Bards, for the uninitiated, is still spelled B-A-R-D-S. And we'll be back here next week, same Bards time, same Bards station. Until then, the bell is sounded.
You're listening to
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Ice cream man, can I have this? I want this over here, and a toast on by my father, and give me this ice over here, and vanilla cone. Thank you, ice cream man. Thank you, ice cream man.